Gracious Holy Spirit, come now and speak your word to our hearts. We thank you for your gospel. We pray that it finds room in our hearts this night. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And all of our children can go to children's church. Brave Samantha up here by herself. Do you know that movie, Saving Private Ryan? The movie about World War II and the Greatest Generation. The awesome movie that Steven Spielberg put together, I believe. It's been several years. Every Memorial Day I look for it. I finally bought it because I couldn't. They wouldn't show it on Memorial Day. And wouldn't you know, it was on TV last night. So, you know. But anyway, there you go. The opening scene is what I want to recall to you. When they're in the little, is it, peace something boats. I can't think of them. I'm getting about six names. Say it loud, Pete. LST boats. And they're being, drowned troops being brought in on the beaches. And they're in the boat, and the camera swoops down upon one of these vessels with Tom Hanks and his platoon. And he looks in their eyes, and he gives them a kind of a final charge and says, basically, I'll see you on the beach. And then it all breaks loose. That is, in a sense, the sort of dramatic point in the Gospels that this passage we're given tonight comes. It is Jesus about to hit the beach that is Calvary. It is Him about to enter into His passion. And this is His last teaching moments, at least recorded in the Gospel of John. If you sense a warfare motif, which is a fancy biblical word for sort of almost like an analogy to a war type scene between the evil one, the need for protection, the strategic plan. It's because it's there. Jesus is about to leave his disciples. He gives them many thoughts here. Too much to say. This is scripture. No man without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit could put prose together the way the gospel writer of John does here. I want to focus in on the two things that Jesus prays specifically for these disciples near the end there, verses 14 and following. He prays two things. He prays first for their protection. And secondly, he prays for their sanctification, for their protection, and for their sanctification. Why does he need to pray for their protection? Well, first of all, because he is leaving the world, but they are remaining. That's kind of an eerie feel to it, doesn't it? Father, I'm coming back to you. But they're remaining in this world. They and we are called to remain in this world to continue the work that Christ begun, to complete the mission that He has charged us with, to be here present to those around us who do not know Christ. All the talk that Jesus does about they know you and they know me, Father. They know that I have come from you. They have trusted, they've received your word. Jesus is that word. Now for John, the word world does not simply mean all cultures, creation, the world that we're looking at. The world means the world system, the way the world operates. Self-centered, relying upon myself, trusting in no one. I'll get mine, you get yours. Hopefully, I end up with more than you. That is the world. Christ has revealed Himself to the disciples. They have embraced Him. They have seen, acknowledged that salvation is in nothing other than God's grace and sending Jesus. That Him who was sinless, taking our sin upon Himself, the self-giving love of God displayed in the cross of Christ, this is our only hope. John says, through the words of Jesus, you disciples have received this, but now I pray protection because you're remaining in the world. Jesus reminds us that we have a mission to accomplish. Now, ours is not a secular warfare. Ours is a spiritual warfare. And while we wage war against powers and principalities, the humans that we encounter are not our enemies, but those we are sent to reveal Jesus to. You and I have been left here in the world to be, as Jesus said Himself, salt and light. We are strategically placed where we are in life. Our personality, our backgrounds, our culture, our temperament. Because there are people that we are to incarnate Christ to that somebody else could not do. There are people that you can reach that I could never reach. There are people that you need to be Jesus to that I can't be Jesus to. I don't have the relationship with them. I'm not the right age or the right gender. Whatever. We are left, Jesus says, in the world because we're called to carry on His mission. We're to be in that world. We're not to retreat from it. Haunting statistic that within the first 2 years a person comes to Christ, typically they lose all key important relationships with non-Christian people. I think that breaks the heart of God. Because if you cut off your non-Christian friends, how will they hear about Christ? We are called to be remaining in the world, engaged in that world, ministering to that world. Now here's the catch. Jesus prays protection because He's leading us in the world and because in this world we have an enemy. And this is really where the whole sort of warfare motif plays out. We have an enemy. And he's clever. And he will work to undermine us and to distract us and to keep us from being about the mission of bringing Christ to those that we are uniquely called to bring Him to. Satan will do everything in his power to distract you. This morning he sent a mosquito to fly around my ear as I was reading the gospel. It was terribly distracting. A cell phone went off. Thank goodness nothing like that's happened tonight. But he will work, not with pitchfork, not out in the open where you can see him. He's the bent one, as C.S. Lewis says. He's the one who just slightly perverts the good things of God. Just enough to lead us off into left field. Satan will do two things. First of all, he will try to make you and I compromise. Okay, be a Christian, but don't let it absorb your whole life. Compartmentalize, right? Here's my faith, and here's my career, and here's my interests, and here's my friends. Is that a cell phone? See? He'll try to distract us, and he'll try to make us compromise. And then if he can't make us compromise, he'll attempt to discredit us. They're age old. It was the things he did with Jesus, right? This is the temptations in the desert. Compromise or try to discredit. We are called to be faithful. Jesus, our Lord, is praying for our protection. That we won't shy away. That we won't retreat in little enclaves. But that we'll engage the world and carry on His mission. He also prays that we be sanctified. Now, the problem with being in the world is that sometimes you're tempted to become like the world. As a matter of fact, probably most Christians have either a tendency to retreat from the world and be unable to evangelize the world, or they're so ready to run in to evangelize that they end up becoming like the world. And so I think it's neat that Jesus prays this double-edged sword. I pray for their protection in the world. I also pray for their sanctification. Now, sanctification is the word for the vessels we use during Eucharist. It's the chalice and the paten. They're set apart. They're used for holy purposes. We don't use them in everyday life in ordinary uses because there is a special purpose for them. They are to lead and to point and to assist in worship of Almighty God. And we are to be that same sanctified vessel. That's what the word holy means. Set apart. Now here's the trick. We think of sanctification and holiness and being set apart, and we said, okay, that means we get away from all the world, right? No. The sanctification that Jesus talks about, verse 17, has to do with truth. Sanctify them by your truth, Jesus says. Your word is truth. Now, this is not talking about Scripture at this moment. Jesus is talking about Himself. Your word is truth. So centering on Christ, bringing Christ to the middle of everything we do, and just like we tell our kids, and I know Betty did this in the lesson, she's not in here tonight because she's over teaching the little kids, but we take Jesus with us. It's the only way we can be in the world and not become like the world. We have to be in the world, yet keeping Christ at the center of our lives. Bringing Him into conversation. Spending time with Him before we enter into that environment. Looking for ways to be Christ-centered even while we're in the midst of the world. It's not an easy prayer. It's not a quick fix. No 5 points to a better life here. This is a lifelong pursuit. But protection in the world and sanctification in the world. That's Jesus' prayer for the disciples. Now, as I was preparing this sermon, I was in the task in the midst of something that all of you have gone through at one point in your life, of moving my household. Jody and I have felt led of the Lord over the last couple of months, part and due to Crown Ministries. We felt called to sell our house out in Wellington Place, way out west of 75, and to move back into Gainesville. To simplify our lives, to try and rid ourselves of some debt, and to just make ourselves more available for how God would use us in this city. We are very much committed to Gainesville, more so than ever, because we're going to be living here in about 4 days. And we've begun to move house over from there to here. We're going to be living about 5 blocks over in Westmoreland Estates. Westwood Estates, thank you. But somewhere in the midst of this whole move, you know this point. You get there where the refrigerator's in one place and the kitchen equipment's here and the clothes are there and you can't remember, oh yeah, you know, and you're kind of between two homes and you're just, you're going crazy, and you start saying to yourself, why have I done this? What kind of an idiot am I to have gotten myself into this mess? And then for me, and I think for you probably too, at some point you begin to go, and Lord, obviously I missed your will and your plan, and I'm just off base. And I get into this self-talk, and I begin to get frustrated with myself, and I begin to doubt whether I'm in the right path and I'm doing the Lord's will. And here's the point, friends. What the Lord has reminded me through this passage is that Jesus is much more concerned that I be about being in the world, ministering, evangelizing, being light and salt to people that I encounter. He's much more concerned that I be about being sanctified and set apart as a Christ-centered person in the midst of this world than if I live in Wellington Place or Westland Estates. Did I get it right? Westwood Estates. Man, I'm so bad. If it was a person, I could remember its name, but it says it's an inanimate object. I have no use for it. But it's like we get so focused on the details. We get so focused on, am I pleasing God by buying this car instead of this car and living here or this? And we get so focused on that, distracted by the evil one, that we lose sight of the two things Christ prays for us. Protect them, Lord, Holy Father, in the world. Because they're going to remain in the world as my witness. And sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.